Okay, so what I'm thinking to do today is just kind of reiterate the last class on Monday, reiterate all the stuff about modes, mentalization, and then we'll do kind of the longer meditation session as usual. I also figured to kind of reinforce the imaginal parents and, by coming into it through the Brahma Viharas or the four immeasurables, so the Buddhist heart practices. So that's what I figured to do today. So alrighty, let's get going with that. So let's see. I'll do a screen share. Okay, let's see. All right, so, okay, the modes. So first off, let's reiterate, what are the modes? The modes are, so kind of in their not problematic form, it's like a mood. It's like, something like, oh, I'm tired. So totally not a problem. In the more extreme form, they're like fully dissociated states. Also, you can kind of think of them as like a mood plus a behavior. And they also another way to that I think about the modes is like, okay, so the schema is the belief, and then the mode is like, is driven by the belief. It's like how you must respond. And again, that's just a way of thinking about it. That's probably not really true. It's just skillful and useful. Also, I think that beliefs, I'm sorry, like, schemas or beliefs have behaviors that are part of them. Also, the modes have beliefs, and they kind of, mutually co-penetrate, like kind of everything, but it's useful to think of it in those ways. Okay, very good. Okay, so modes. Let's just so in schema therapy, there are four main types of modes: the healthy adult mode, and then the way I like to think of, and so what I kind of have done is like I've in my mind I've largely reinterpreted the modes and the schemas, and then put them more in attachment terms because that's what I know better. So the healthy adult mode is the mode that can mentalize. That's the way I think about it. It's like this is the mode that can that is sufficiently emotionally regulated to understand, I'll say, his own mental states, the mental states of others, the intentional stances of others, how emotions, mental states, thoughts, et cetera, affect each other, how they're just thoughts, that they're not, they don't necessarily have a direct impact on the world. They're just mental phenomena that arise and pass. Also, how to kind of connect mental states into like a coherent story that makes sense. And then also even how, and then this is like the mastery end of the mentalization ability, how to kind of manipulate one's own mental states in such a way to achieve emotional regulation. Okay, good. All right, so then child modes. Child modes are like highly variable. There can be like an angry, helpless child mode. That'd be something very preoccupied. There are also healthy child modes, like healthy child, creative child, exploratory child seeking connection in a healthy way. The vulnerable child. The vulnerable child is, in a sense, where we do most of our work. So we figure out what schema, what mode are we working on. Then rather, we kind of figure out what mode is arising. We figure out what schema underlies it, and then we come into the vulnerable child, experience the schema, and then get reparented and have a disconfirming experience, kind of more or less in the vulnerable child mode, and then we transition from the vulnerable child into the happy child, and then that fuels the healthy adult. Okay, good. Coping modes. So the coping modes, and in terms of like being able to understand your modes and how you present throughout the day, I think, and being able to bring mentalization to your modes, to kind of start unwinding them and catching them before they really, in a sense, screw up your life. The coping modes are the ones to really focus on. So, and then they break down into three large categories: surrender, avoid, and overcompensate. And then we'll just leave it at that. At that level, we'll just leave it at that for right now. Also, the last are the these kind of negative internalized parent voices, and that's another set of modes that's also, I think, really helpful for seeing and then confronting and stopping. And then again, like, I think all these more negative modes, you say, aha, the vulnerable child is underneath this. Like, you recognize that, and then you say, what is the need that is going unmet right now for my internal vulnerable child? And then you meet that need. And then that's the way to quit the mode from presenting and, in a sense, screwing up your life, and also to bring about the healing that you want. Okay, good. Let's keep going. So then this just goes into some more detail. So again, healthy adult mode, we don't go in a lot of detail there, but just remember mentalization, dealing with life in a healthy, responsible way. Okay. So these are kind of like negative child modes, even though I think in a certain sense, should probably be organized a different way. But in a certain sense, I think of the vulnerable child mode as actually a healthy mode. It's, in a sense, the mode that is easy. It's a mode that we work on to bring about transformation. In a certain sense, it's the most valuable mode, right? But okay, but these are different ways that, and these are kind of more negative child modes that can present. So lonely child. And then I think in the evening class, we actually did this as a meditation. But so let's actually do this as a meditation. So just straighten up, push the crown of the head up towards the ceiling. Take one deep breath. And now I'm going to read this list of modes to you. And what I want you to do is generate a sense for that mode in yourself. And there might be a few of these that just that don't resonate. But see if you can really feel into this mode. Lonely child. Abandoned child. Abused child. Humiliated or shamed child. Dependent child. This is like the helpless child. This is common for people with preoccupied attachment. So dependent child. Oh, I can't do it by myself. Please don't abandon me. And also feel how uncomfortable all of these are. Angry, unsocialized child. Enraged child. Impulsive child. Okay, now stay in the meditation. And now I'm going to keep reading, and these are healthy child modes. Happy, contented child. Imagine that. And kind of really notice this, in a sense, corner of yourself, this like little corner of your psyche that is this way. Connection seeking child. Exploratory, creative child. Okay. And now we're going to go And so stay in the meditation. Now we're going to go through the maladaptive coping modes. So surrender, surrender, avoidance, overcompensation. Okay. And so these are not child modes. Let me just make that clear. Okay, so now keep imagining these. Compliant surrenderer. What does that look like for you? Do you have that mode? You know, interestingly, I noticed that I have it and it feels really uncomfortable to even admit that. Self-pity victim mode. This would be something you'd see with preoccupied attachment more frequently. Okay, now we'll move on to the detached and avoidant modes. So detached protector, can you find that in yourself? Spaced out protector. Now this is more of like a dissociated state. Imagine that. Avoidant protector. Imagine that. What does that look like for you? Detached self-soothing mode. Detached self-soother. What does that look like for you? Is that like binging on Netflix, drinking alcohol to excess, you know, smoking marijuana, something like that? Or maybe reading something kind of mind-numbing on the internet. So imagine, once again, detached self-soother. This is a really, really common mode. Really study the contours of the mode. Angry protector. So this is kind of where you put up this kind of wall of anger such that nobody can get to you. So you can't feel your feelings. I know I totally have that mode. Okay, now workaholic mode. But this workaholic is in order to avoid. So see yourself busying yourself with work in order to avoid your feelings, avoid connections with others, etc. Okay, now we'll move on to the overcompensation modes. So now imagine your attention and approval seeker mode. What does that look like? Preoccupied, fawning mode. Now, this preoccupied fawning mode has both overcompensation, kind of a very busied worrying with the mental states of others, but it also implies a type of surrender as well. This could really go under both overcompensation and surrender, but go into preoccupied fawning mode. See what that looks like for you. Okay. And now the next mode is, this is going to be more typical for dismissing attachment, self-aggrandizer. So imagine that. This is often used to emotionally regulate out of a sense of defectiveness and shame and internalized rejection, which is, in a sense, a core, which I believe is a core of dismissing attachment. So this kind of puffing oneself up. Oh, I know, I'm better. I know, I'm good, I'm better than others. So come into that mode and just see it clearly. Like you're really taking an interest in these modes. Okay, we'll move on. Over controller. This can be also often like a perfectionistic over controller. What does that look like for you? I'll just repeat it. So, perfectionistic overcontroller, what does that look like for you? Okay. Now let's move on to a kind of overcompensating version of workaholic. So, this is not so much to just shut down feelings or not be around others. It's more about, oh, I'm going to keep working to be better. This is kind of what this, you say you're overworking in order to bring about the opposite message of the schema. So if you're like, feel defective, you're going to keep working until you feel better about yourself, kind of thing. So come into that. So workaholic mode. Okay, and now we're going to some antisocial modes. Bully and attack. Do you have that inside of you? Is that a gear you can kind of get in? And if so, just see that clearly. We're not judging it, we're just trying to study it and build a greater ability to identify the mode within ourselves. Conning and manipulative mode. So conning and manipulative mode. See if you can find that. And you might just have just a little bit of it, or you might have a lot. But just notice clearly whatever you have of that mode. Okay, and predator mode. Do you have a predatory mode inside of you? Just see that clearly. Okay, good. And now we're going to do the last set of modes, which are maladaptive parent modes, or introject or internalized parent voices. And man, I think this list of modes is extremely valuable. And I definitely have a ton of the demanding parent voice, also guilt-inducing parent voice. Anyhow, but let's start with punitive parent voice. And so just a note generally on the parent voices, they're kind of like self-referential, like some of the other modes, you just get in it and you're just doing it. Whereas this is like you're talking back at yourself. It's like you have a parent inside your mind that's talking at you. So punitive parent voice. Go ahead and notice the quality of that mode. What does it sound like? What does it feel like for you? Okay, demanding parent voice mode. Demanding parent. You need to do more. You have to keep going. You'll be criticized if you don't keep producing or keep doing really well. Really listen to that, hear that. What does it sound like? Notice this. Okay, and just two more. Guilt-inducing parent voice. Oh, you can't have that for yourself. You need to only think of others. Oh, you need to think of me. Oh, what would your mother think? That kind of stuff. Guilt-inducing parent voice. See if you can identify that. Okay, good. Now you can open the eyes. And let's just talk a little bit about how the modes interact with each other and then a way to organize them. So, okay, here in the upper left-hand corner are the punitive parent voices or critical parent voices. In the center is the vulnerable child. Again, here's where we kind of experience all of the schemas. And then this is what we reparent. We reparent the vulnerable child. Again, but now let's just talk about these outer rings and really kind of organize the whole picture here. So you can kind of think of these coping modes. So these rings represent the coping modes. They're kind of, in a sense, layers of defense to protect the vulnerable child from feeling the pain of the schemas. That's one way of thinking about it. So, okay, there's first this ring of overcompensation, then avoidance, then surrender. Then I think often you'll find this angry child and then the vulnerable child. And then also one way to think about this is as like kind of the energy gets lower. Like if you still have a lot of energy, you can keep overcompensating. Less energy, but still you have some energy, you avoid. But then when you really start kind of getting worn down and collapsing, you kind of collapse into one of the surrender modes. And then the vulnerable child mode can come out when you just are too worn out to do the emotional self-regulation. And again, just to reiterate, the vulnerable child mode is where that's the mode we want to do these repatterning meditations from. That's the mode that most easily has these emotionally corrective experiences. And then when we get the emotionally corrective experience, what happens? We have the happy child. And then in the meditation, when we move from vulnerable child to happy child, we then support the happy child's explorations and desire for connection. And then that drives and supports the healthy adult. And then we can also include in there the good self-parent. Okay, good. Let's keep moving. Okay, so now I just want to go over very briefly. Wait a second. These six different types of metacognition, and this is again drawing from the Rome school. So identification, and that's identification is what we were doing when we were doing this guided meditation of just trying to identify the mode and relating variables. It's like, okay, seeing how they all interrelate, or not necessarily how the modes interrelate, although that can be, but like, see, it's like, oh, okay, like I see that I get upset here, and then this next thing happens, and then that follows, et cetera. Differentiation. So this is just understanding, aha, this is just a mental state. This doesn't have any direct impact on the world. Just because I think I didn't lock the door doesn't make the door less likely to be locked or not. It's just a thought. Okay. Integration. So this is like the ability to kind of make a coherent narrative and understand how this, like, first off, integration relies on relating variables. It's just kind of like the next level up from relating variables. Decentration. So this is basically theory of mind. Do you understand that other people have a different perspective than you? Can you put yourself in the other person's perspective? And then in like very traditional mentalization language, do you understand the intentional stance of the other? Okay, and then mastery. Can you work out, let's say, a story, or do you have a technique for remaining emotionally regulated? Okay, good. And then let me just. Okay, good. So now, okay, so that's what I wanted to go over. And now we'll do a guided meditation for the rest of the time remaining. All right, and then maybe I'll see if I can keep 5 minutes towards the end to do Q&A. All right, so straightening up, pushing the crown of the head up towards the ceiling and starting to settle in. And we'll take a few deep breaths. So go ahead and inhale really deep. Retain the breath. Exhale. Inhale really, really deeply. Retain the breath below the navel. Exhale. And one more time, really, really deep. Exhale. Okay, good. And just because we don't have as much time, we'll go ahead and jump right into the meditation. So again, answer. So I'm going to be at, we're going to be doing a series of inquiries, and answer these questions as if you were a completely unsophisticated, like 6-year-old. And answer it from the pro-symptom position. So what problems are coming up in your life? What symptoms are you presenting? And these might be modes that we just covered. Now embody this, bring up the visual thoughts, the images that arise around this. What are the auditory thoughts? What's the inner talk that arises? Play out the scene. This mode of behavior of yours might correlate with one of the child modes, one of the critical parent modes, one of the coping modes of surrender, avoidance, or overcompensation. And just notice that. Think about your mode. Think about your symptom. And no judgment, just have this quality of interest. This is so interesting how the human mind works. There's a part of you that's producing this symptom that sees it as either necessary or it just ends up being a consequence of how you need to behave. And see that. Kind of allow yourself to believe the story that it's presenting. Okay, so associated with this symptom, with this mode, with this presentation of yourself, ask yourself this question. From this place of unquestioning, childlike belief, when I'm in this, I believe what about myself? I believe that I am like so-and-so, like such and such. when I'm totally believing the schema, when I'm totally believing the thoughts that drive this symptom or this mode, I believe that the world is like what? That others are like what? When I'm fully believing this story, others seem so fill in the blank. And now notice how all of this makes sense. Your belief about yourself kind of corresponds with your belief about the world. Then your response, your behavior, your symptom, your mode kind of makes sense based on your belief about self and world. And just notice that. And also see how this is adaptive in some sort of way. And now we're going to go back into the mode or back into the symptom. So from this place of naive belief, it is so obvious that I must do what? Keep investigating that. It is so obvious that I must do what? And at other times, I find that I must do this other thing. I must behave this other way. And strangely, at other times, I end up doing this other behavior as well. And also notice how these different ways of being, or these different symptoms, or these different modes or parts might be in discord with each other. There might be a sense of dissonance between these different behaviors. And that's totally natural. There's always that kind of dissonance. That's all right. Just see that and see if you can relax the dissonance, the discord. Okay, now you didn't learn this belief or learn this behavioral response from nowhere. You learned it, likely in childhood, possibly in adolescence, or even in earlier adulthood. So now look back. See if you can find scenes from earlier in life where you learn these lessons about the world and learn these lessons about yourself. And these can be real memories or they can be composite, reconstructed memories. It doesn't matter much. See this clearly. Keep investigating. You learned this. See how you learned these lessons. And now go ahead and pick one scene that feels quite triggering, quite alive for you. Where are you? How old are you? Who are you with? Now really stay embodied, feel into this. And now have the imaginal parents come into the scene and they can remove you from the scene, take you somewhere safe. And now the first thing that's so clear is they are on your side. They're there to support you. They see the whole situation from your perspective and they comfort you. I developed that scene. That's right. And also, they know that you are not to blame for this situation. You didn't do anything wrong. This was just an unfortunate state of affairs. And they're here to make it right for you. So now go ahead and develop that scene. You might tell them something, they might tell you something, and they help you get organized around this. They help you understand your experience. They help you see how this old crappy learning was just that, a crappy learning. And that you can disown it. It's not yours anymore. Also, notice how you're valued by these imaginal parents, how you're a total joy to them, and that they really delight in helping you move through this. Keep developing the scene. That's right. And now you and the imaginal parents go back to that original scene. You feel very strong, very big, very supportive, supported. The imaginal parents are there. They're very strong and very big. And now take a corrective action. If someone treated you poorly, maybe confront them, or the imaginal parents confront them, or there's some sort of other corrective action that takes place. Go ahead and develop that scene now. If someone treated you poorly, that person acknowledges what was done, how it made you feel. Also, everybody sees how this was not your fault. This is just a crappy situation you were in. It has nothing to do with you anymore. And you can see that clearly now. Keep developing the scene. You're so supported in every way by these imaginal parents. They really understand what your needs are, and they meet them now in a perfect way. That's right. Really taking that in. Keep developing the scene in such a way to get an emotionally corrective experience. Really feeling it in the body. That's right. Keep going. Okay, and now you start noticing how there's this quality of perspective. Now kind of imagine yourself floating back towards the present. This old scene is far in the past. You really kind of can see it from a different perspective. It's very small. Your mind is open and broad. There's this quality of expansiveness. Also, it's so clear that you're supported. And you can see this old scene from in a different way. It's like, oh yeah, this is just a crappy, difficult situation I was in. It's not me. It's not who I am. Okay, good. And now we'll go ahead and start wrapping up the meditation. But before we do, reflect back. What was this like? What did you learn? What were the take-home messages and lessons? Okay, good. And now bring your attention to the rising and falling of the abdomen. Now open the eyes halfway, but keep following the rising and falling of the abdomen. Now open the eyes entirely and then release the meditation. Now being present in the room and settled in the experience. Okay, good. Okay, so we can take 3 minutes of questions and then, yeah. Hey, everybody, I hope y'all are doing well. Any questions or comments?
Hi, Cedric.
Hey.
Just at the beginning, first of all, it was very powerful. Thank you. Just there were a lot of different things it seemed you did at the beginning, and I think it's because I wasn't in the evening class on Monday.
Oh. Okay.
But just going through the lists of the vulnerable child and even through the modes, I don't know. There's just something very, that made it so much more salient. Like I could feel it and I could really embody it. And it felt like it just made the whole meditation that much more powerful for me. So thank you for that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I was going to ask, like, is the recording of this available, but I should be able to access the recording of the evening where you did the same thing?
Yes. Well, I did. This one is actually, I think, a lot better. Because I just went through it really quick in the evening one, but actually I totally I really enjoyed going through it really slow.
Me too.
It was completely a different experience. Whereas you know, and a lot of times, let me just admit that I'm oh, I gotta get through this material. I gotta produce a bunch of whereas absolutely. This is it's you know, you're saying, it's oh yeah, I totally have this corner of my mind. Oh wow. And it's I could really see that. And yeah, so but this recording will also be available. We should get it up in 2 or 3 days max. But yeah, I'm planning on I think I'm going to listen to this one again.
So these ones, the links, do they appear in Slack or?
They get posted to the YouTube channel and also they also get posted on the resource page as well.
Okay.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. But yeah, like you said, everything, I don't know, it just seemed more integrated and it was, it was really cool.
Yeah. Well, and also just riffing a little off what you're saying is this is some project. I want to do some project where you know how it is, you know, we kind of go through these periods where we're all interested in this, interested in the other thing. Mm-hmm. And I've gone through a period where I'm very interested in the schemas, interested in the whole reparenting piece. But now I'm really getting into the modes. And I'll just add that schema therapy started out mainly focusing on the schemas. And then the modes were secondary, but now as schema therapy is developing, because it's like a living therapy where they're still doing research and people are kind of encouraged and allowed to add to it and modify the mode work, which you can say the part work is getting more and more prominent. So anyway, but yeah,
that's awesome.
Actually, I've got to go. We got to start the book club. But hey, see y'all. Thank you all for coming, and see you in a week. Bye bye.